We are going to be starting a sermon series today, and it's a sermon series that is brought to the forefront of my mind most Sabbath mornings, because as I go and I play guitar for the children's Sabbath school, we get all the kids together, and this song always comes up, and it goes right along with the scripture that Jaden read so beautifully just a moment ago. And I'm going to invite our Sabbath school kids to come up here and to help me sing a song that'll introduce this. So I need all the kids to come on up. I think you know which song it is. We practiced it this morning. And I think you will see that our kids are learning a lot in our Sabbath schools each morning. This song is about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to be looking over the next couple weeks at what the Bible says is the fruit of the Spirit, or the things that are exuding from us that we portray as we become closer to Jesus. And so this song is called The Fruit of the Spirit. We're going to do three verses, and I think you guys all know this. There's a lot more verses. There's a lot of verses to this song, but we're going to keep it to three. Like, if you remember going to Sabbath school as a kid, or Sunday school even, you remember there's a lot of songs to different, or a lot of verses to different songs. They go on and on. If you've ever sung Father Abraham, you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to keep it to three songs, and this is a song that we sing a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. You guys ready? The fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it's not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is not a boy kiwi. The fruit of the Spirit is not a boy kiwi. If you want to be a boy kiwi, you might as well hear you can be the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. The fruit of the Spirit's not a. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear. Can't be the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, thank you guys very much for helping us out. Songs are a great way to remember Scripture, and I hope that, it's kind of a catchy song, isn't it? And I hope that when these kids are older that they'll remember the fruits of the Spirit from the song they learned as a kid in the Franktown church here. I had high hopes of taking about 3 weeks on this series and maybe going through three of the different fruits of the Spirit each week. I think I will not be able to do that. I don't think I can squeeze some of the good stuff in here. I feel like I'd be missing out. So we're going to see how long it takes. I'm not sure. It might be 4, 5, 6 weeks maybe on this. But I think this is a very, very valuable piece in Scripture. In this church, we study about Bible prophecy. We study about some of the old heroes in the Old Testament. We study about the Holy Spirit moving in the New Testament, the book of Acts, et cetera, et cetera. And as we go through these different things, one thing that is very important is to look and to see what, as we go through, as we learn truth in the Bible, as Jesus changes our lives, what is the fruit? How are we changed after we encounter and meet Jesus? What is it that we are supposed to be like after we have committed our lives to Jesus? What should our lives look like as we prepare to go to heaven? And in looking through Galatians, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you have Jesus in your lives, there are certain things that people will see if it's genuine, right? We're going to look at these, and the first one, as you heard, was love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hopefully those things are just, you heard the song and it sticks with you. Those are good things to have as goals for your life every day. The first one we are going to look at is love. How do we love people? I can remember an early lesson as a boy. My mom was going down to rent out the senior center for some cooking class or something that she was doing. And she went down there to talk to the people that run the senior center. And as she was working on renting the facility and, you know, where can we put a projector, how many chairs do you have, all that stuff, they said to her, they said, hey, by the way, I don't know if you're interested in helping out or not, but we have a lady who really could use some help. And she says, oh, yeah, what's the situation? And they said, well, she's an elderly lady, and she comes from a very rough situation. We just got her here. We're trying to figure out what to do with her. And it was an elder abuse situation where another person had been kind of holding her against her will, making her work against her will in a very horrible, horrible place, not warm enough, a very, very tough situation that she shouldn't be in. And she hadn't had a bath in a really long time. She hadn't changed her clothes in a really long time. She'd had a pretty rough life for the last several years going through this. And they explained the situation to my mom. And they said, would you take her for just a little bit so we can figure out what to do with her? And so I was with my mom. We were just kind of, I was watching, you know, she was making these arrangements. And then this came up. And she says, absolutely. I'll take her to my house. We'll keep her for a little while and we can figure out what to do together. And this hadn't really happened before. And my eyebrows kind of went up. I was like, whoa. Oh, okay, this is not what I was expecting. So we got this sweet little old lady. Her name was Carmel. And we got her in the car, and we took Carmel home. And my mom and Carmel disappeared into the back of the house, closed the door. And we had some other stuff. We had to do some weed eating or some chores or something, and we were up, we were gone. And when I came back in the house, the door was still closed, but I could tell that things were wrapping up because I heard a blow dryer. And that always signifies that things are wrapping up. And so I remember this clearly, because I had seen the Carmel that went in the back, that had ridden in the car back with us. So I knew what she looked like. I knew the condition that she was in. And when she came out of my mom's bedroom, bathroom area, she looked like a brand new woman. I don't know if you've seen those makeovers where they take like a homeless person or someone and they take them to a barber shop and they shave them up and put a suit and tie on them and whatever, and they look like a totally different person. This was like that, only the 1992 version of that, before YouTube. And I remember looking at this lady and thinking, wow, she looks amazing. See, my mom had taken her back there. My mom's a nurse. She gave this lady a shower and a bath. She washed her hair, conditioned her hair, had the clothes going in the washer and dryer, had some other clothes for her to wear there. She was spiffing this lady up, blow-dried her hair, brushed it the whole nine yards, gave this lady the treatment. And she came out looking like a brand new person. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. In fact, when I go back to Fallbrook, this lady, her name was Carmel, she had a little cart and she'd walk all over town after this. My mom got her hooked up with an apartment and she lived in that apartment for the rest of her life. She was on her own in a safe environment. And a lot of times when I go back to visit my parents in Fallbrook, I remember where her apartment was. We went in there to help her set up her apartment. Whenever I drive past her apartment complex, I always think of Carmel, the sweet little old lady, and the transformation that happened because my mom loved on her, because my mom cared about her and didn't care about what she looked like, what she smelled like, what she was wearing, any of that. And that lesson from my mom was huge for me because she showed me that day what it meant to love somebody. She'd never met this lady before. And she didn't care where this lady had come from, what her past was. She scooped her up and took her home and took care of this lady. And for me, that was one of the most important lessons in loving people that I've ever had in my whole life, was from my mom. Love is an important topic in the scriptures. We're going to look at quite a few verses that talk about love in the Bible. And I think this will be a time for us to challenge ourselves to see how well we love. Now, Galatians starts off, and in Galatians it says, this is how you love. But before that, it says, this is the opposite of loving people. This is how, essentially, you hurt yourself and hurt other people. And then it goes into the fruits of the Spirit. But let's start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Because the opposite of the works of the Spirit are the works of the flesh, the Bible says, right? Things that come from us, sort of maybe selfish things. This is right before we come to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, it says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but when I hear that last part, those that do this will not inherit the kingdom of God, my whole goal is to inherit the kingdom of God. That's where I want to be. I want to spend eternity with Jesus. And if there's something in the Holy Scriptures that were inspired by God that says, avoid these things because these could keep you out of the kingdom of God, I'm paying close attention, special attention to those things. And that makes sense, right? Then it goes on. But the fruit, so we've got what not to do. And then the opposite of that is here's what to do. But, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it goes on, joy, peace, etc. But the first one we're going to look at today is love. The fruit of the Spirit. If you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, the fruit of that relationship will be that you love people. That you show love each and every day. So how do we love? How do we love? Well, one of the most common ways we know about is romantic love. Those of you that are old enough to have dated in your life, remember your first date. That's love, one of the different kinds of love. A love that makes your stomach turn as you're nervous to pick up the phone and call somebody to ask them out on a date. That's love, romantic love. We also have friendship love. You love some of your friends, very dear friends. Family love. When I see my family, when I see my kids, I'll scoop them up. If they're running past me and I'm sitting on the chair or the couch, if they run close enough, I stick an arm out, I grab them, I kiss them, and I let them go. That's showing love to my kids, right? Et cetera, et cetera. But these are easy, though. Those are easy situations to love, aren't they? That's easy. How do we love when it might be difficult to love somebody? Let's look just at a couple scriptures in the Bible that talk about love. Let's see here, my clicker. Oh, man, there it goes. All right. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, a very famous scripture. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For the definition of God, this is really cool, the definition of who God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So loving and kindness are both right next to each other. And to love someone, you should be kind, right? Now it says, how do you love? That we get a very good tip here on how to love well. Because you can't force love, can you? You can't force love. You can't put a gun to someone's head and say, you're going to love me. They can say they love you, but it's clearly not love because they're saying it out of fear. So how do we cause people to love? Look at what it says here. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I have drawn you in with loving kindness. The way to love is with kindness and to make it optional. To make love so appealing that people want to be your friend. They want to be near you. They want to be loved by you. That's the way to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, one of the most famous verses on love. You'll hear this a lot of times at weddings. If you go to weddings and you're a guest there, 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. This is great too. So many different places in the Bible where God, he says, I am love, and if you want to love and be like me, here's what to do. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or when bad things happen to other people, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, like I said, as we were looking in the beginning at this, I want to challenge you to be 100% honest with yourself as we go through. Don't raise your hand or anything like that, but do some of these things hit close to home? Behave rudely, seek its own, easily provoked. There was another couple back here. Let me see if I can get it. It's coming up. But these are things that where we have to look at ourselves and say, all right, am I loving like this? Am I showing love to the people in my home, in my church, at my work, at the store? Am I loving like this? Matthew 5:43-44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There are easy ways to love, and there are sometimes hard ways to love. Can you think of someone who stretches your lovability? Can you think of someone who is hard to love or difficult to love? You might be sitting with them today. They might be related to you as a distant relative. They might be someone you work with. Think of somebody in your life who's hard to love, who doesn't exude a lot of this stuff. Is it easy to be kind to them? Is it easy to show love to them? No, it's not. It's not. It's really pretty hard. Spitefully use you, persecute you. Those are horrible things to have done to you, right? Someone talks about you behind your back. Someone says something about you that's not true. Someone who's unkind to you. It's hard to love people like that, isn't it? But here, Jesus says, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How did Jesus love? How did Jesus love? How can we love? Here's the last one, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down one's life for his friends. And in reading this, friends, know today that you are very, very loved by Jesus. We looked at this last week at communion. There is no greater way for someone to show their love than to lay down their life for someone else. And that is exactly what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How do we love and see people like Jesus? Because when we look at people and we say, all right, they're hard to love, what is it about them that makes them hard to love? What is it about somebody that makes them hard to love? What is it about somebody, like in this last verse here, that makes them an enemy, even? What is it about them that makes them hard to love or makes them an enemy? What is it about them? I have found this in life. The most rude, mean, horrible people I've ever known are going through some terrible times in life. There is a reason when somebody hates somebody. There's some sort of hurt going on inside of them that causes them to act out like that. There is something going on in someone's life when they act horrible. A lot of times we don't know what it is, but a lot of times there is something going on in someone's life when they act out like that, when they're mean. Something that they're hurting from. Let's look at what Jesus did. How did Jesus see people? All kinds of different people. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark chapter 5. Because I think if we look at how Jesus saw people, we can see people a little bit more like him and overlook maybe some of people's flaws that make them hard to love. How did Jesus see people? How did Jesus love people? Mark chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, this is Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Let's stop there for just a moment. This man is dabbling in the occult, spiritualism, etc., etc. The devil is messing with this guy's life. This still happens today, friends. We don't see it a lot here in America, but if you go to some other countries, you'll see it very wide open. It happens a lot here too. You don't see it as much. For instance, back when, remember when the eclipse happened? What was that, about a year and a half ago? Remember the eclipse? Was it last year? When was it? 2 years ago. Man, time flies. 2 years ago, we were up at Mill Springs Ranch, the Seventh-day Adventist camp up in Casper, Wyoming. Beautiful. One of the coolest things I've ever seen, that eclipse that happened up there. The sheriff came down the road and was talking. Matt Moreland, one of our members here, was the camp manager up there, and he came to Matt and he said, "Hey, just want to make sure everything's okay here." He's like, "Yeah, why wouldn't it be okay?" He's like, "Well," he says, "we've got a camp full of witches and wizards down the road that have come up here for this as well, and they're doing some crazy stuff over there. A lot of the sorcery, wizardry, all of this stuff, spiritualism, does happen here in the United States, and the devil still messes with people all over the world just like it happens here in the Bible. The devil hasn't given up on messing with people just because the Bible finished off at Revelation and nothing else has been written. The devil still messes with people. And the devil was messing with this guy. It says he had an unclean spirit, verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame this man. What would you do if you saw this man, if you went on a walk out at Castlewood Canyon right down the road here? What if you went for a walk somewhere in your neighborhood and this guy was out there and you confronted him, or he confronted you on your walk on a Sabbath afternoon? Pray hard. This is a tough thing. How would you immediately, and don't answer this, but in your mind, what would you think about this person? Would you think about helping or loving this guy? Because this guy does not sound very lovable, does he? He does not sound very lovable at all. He's got chains hanging off of him because as he's been chained, he's just gone somehow with superhuman strength, pulled it apart. The Bible says that the devil can do miracles as well. So the spirits can do things that we don't understand. It's like pull chains apart. This man's life was in bondage, not by physical chains, but by the chains of the devil. The Bible says he lived up in the tombs. At night he would wail, take rocks and cut himself. What a sad story, isn't it? What a sad story. How do you love somebody like that? What does Jesus do here? What does Jesus see, first of all? What does Jesus see when he sees this guy out there in the hills? And as he comes running over to him, he falls down at the feet of Jesus. What does Jesus see? Does he see a crazy naked man with chains hanging off of him? Maybe visually. But what does Jesus really see when he looks at this man? He sees somebody who is hurting. He sees somebody who is chained by Satan. Satan has complete control over this guy's life. Does Satan still do that today? You betcha he does. Through things like heroin, anything that's addictive. Anything that's addictive. He loves to take control over our lives. There's 100 different ways to do it. Where people have no more control, just like this guy up in the hills. What does Jesus see? He sees a man who is hurting. He sees a man who wants to be free. But most importantly here, when he looks at this man, he sees potential where nobody else sees potential. A lot of times we look at people in the state that they are and don't think about what they can become. Jesus looks at this guy and thinks, man, this guy could be really happy. He could have happiness and joy in his life. Look at what a miserable life. He's cutting himself, howling at the moon at night, scaring people. He's not happy. The one thing that can make him happy is standing right in front of him. And Jesus sees potential in this train wreck of a life. You might have heard the story. Jesus commands in verse 8, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Do you think it took 10, 15 minutes for that to happen? Not at all. Because when the Creator speaks, action happens immediately. And as soon as these evil spirits heard Jesus say, come out of him, they had no choice but to come out. Praise God for his power to protect us. He said, come out of him. And he asked him, what is your name? And he said, we are legion, for we are many. So you know the story, sent him to the swine, they went. Then they came to Jesus, verse 15, saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, and he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. I love this story. Because you had just this wild man. Just a train wreck. The devil had messed this guy's life up so bad. And when Jesus looked at him, he saw potential. And here he was, after he'd met Jesus, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. That's the power of Jesus. Verse 18, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him and stay with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Jesus saw a potential evangelist when he saw this crazy naked man with chains hanging off of him. He saw a potential evangelist when everybody else saw just a crazy wild man in the mountains. And through Jesus' love and power, he changed this man's life and turned it into something beautiful. He loved this guy when no one else loved him. He believed in this guy when no one else believed in him. This is a challenge for us, friends. Because on some scale, we all know that when we meet somebody, we judge them just a little bit, don't we? Just a little bit. It's hard not to, isn't it? Some people make it hard for us to love them. That's true too. How should we look at people? We should look at them in the same way that Jesus looked at them, with potential and compassion. I like to look back it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, chapter 4, chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. How can we love more like Jesus? says, love suffers long and is kind. Do people that are hard to love test your patience? Yeah. Jesus says, be patient with them. Be patient with them. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love is humble. That's what this is saying. Love is humble, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Love is always looking out for the other person. That's true love. It is thinking, says, thinks no evil. That means it's thinking positively. It's thinking positively about people that most wouldn't think positively about. That is what true love is. Nothing got in the way of Jesus loving somebody, even when they didn't love him in return. He still loved people. There's a video I want to show you as we close. And I saw this video several years ago. I think this was filmed in 2013. And it's a gentleman over in India. And it's a short story, maybe a 2.5-minute video. But this guy is an inspiration to me on how to love people, everybody. To look past our initial prejudices, our initial judgments, and to see a child of God, to see potential, to see someone made in the image of God, and to try and make something better by loving them. Take a look at this video, just a few moments. You know, we may not have that same exact situation here in Franktown, but have you ever gone to a store somewhere and seen a cashier or someone at the cash register who's got tears in their eyes, and you don't know why they're crying at work? There's an opportunity to love somebody. Somebody at your office where you work, going through a tough time, there's your opportunity to love somebody. Your spouse or your kids have a rough day at work or at school, there's your opportunity to love somebody. One of the things he said up there, mental nutrition. Anybody hear that? Love was mental nutrition. I like the way he said that. Because we do need physical nutrition, but love is mental nutrition that helps heal our soul. So our question today, how can we love better? How can we show the love of Jesus better in our homes, where we work, at the store, here in church, with our community? How can we see people like Jesus? How can we encourage people like Jesus did? It feels good to be loved, doesn't it? Have someone say they love you, to show that they love you. It's encouraging. It makes you want to live up to that standard. This week, in your private devotions maybe, take some time and spend a few moments looking at the life of Jesus and how he interacted with people. Look for specific ways that Jesus loved people. And see if you can take that and apply it to your week this week. Maybe pick a couple people. Maybe you know of somebody who needs a little bit of extra TLC this week. Somebody who could use a little bit of extra love. Show them the love of Jesus. And see if it can help change their day just a little bit. The Bible says God is love. The more we spend time with him, it can be said the same of you and me. We are also love if we spend that time reflecting it like Jesus. We're going to sing a closing song. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up and to help us wrap up our worship time together. We're going to be singing a hymn called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for your everlasting love. Lord, we thank you so much for showing us in Scripture repeatedly how we can love like you. Lord, help us to see people through your eyes. And Lord, as we study these fruits of the Spirit, God, as we spend more time with you, help these things to be evident in our life. Because, Lord, we want to be just like you. Lord, we're so thankful that your love was so huge that you came here to take us home, and we're looking forward to that day very much, and we're glad that today we're one day closer to spending eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.